Well, hopefully you can look back at this past week and notice whether or not you feasted well. Did you feast rather than not feasting or binging? And hopefully you can look back at this last week and see that you were with the Lord in the daily readings, and you had an opportunity to bear witness to the difference that Jesus has made in your life. Those three things that I challenged you to last week, and a very practical way of living out Easter. This homily is utterly impractical, which does not mean it's not important. In fact, the least practical things often are very important. But it's actually just one part of the creed that we profess. It's particularly part of the Apostles' Creed, but we profess it all the time. And I get a lot of questions about it, and I actually think a lot of people don't really understand. So a lot of you will already know this. And some of you will say, oh, I've always wondered about that, and now I know what the Catechism says about it. That's what you'll say at the end of the homily. You'll be like, wow, that was... You won't say how good the homily was. You will say how great the Catechism is. Okay. So, but I think it's an important point, because to really understand the Paschal mystery, the death and resurrection of Jesus, his descent into the dead, into hell, and his ascension into heaven. Primarily, you know, it's about his descent into hell that I want to talk. We say that it's part of the creed. Jesus descended into hell. And what does that mean? And that he led the captives out of hell. And wait, what does that mean? What Jesus did on Holy Saturday after his death on the cross. Okay, he descended into, and I'll quote the Catechism here, paragraph 631. Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also he who ascended far above all heavens. The Apostles' Creed confesses in the same article, Christ descended into hell and his resurrection from the dead on the third day. Because in his Passover, it was precisely out of the depths of death that he made life spring forth. There are some scriptures in 1 Peter, a couple of them, that talk about Jesus preaching to those who were dead. So Jesus goes down, he descends and preaches to those who were dead and leads the captives out into eternal life. But what do we mean that he descended into hell? Okay, the Catechism is going to say this, but I'll just say this right now. The word for hell that we think of as hell is the hell of damnation. Okay, for any little kids out there, I'm not using bad words. I'm just actually talking about real things. All right. That the place of those who have eternally rejected God and will never change their minds, that's one usage of hell. But there are other usages of the word hell, okay? And the other ones would be more like the abode of the dead, okay? The place where those who are dead, okay? And they have died. They haven't eternally rejected God, but they also are not, they don't have the vision of God. They don't have the beatific vision. They're not in heaven. They're not in this state of union with God that heaven is, okay? And why? Well, those who died before Jesus' death and resurrection were awaiting still the Savior. Now, they may have been awaiting it with faith and with repentance. Or there may have been people who weren't awaiting it and had no faith and no repentance. Okay, so when Jesus descends into hell, we mean he actually, there's a Greek word called, or the Hebrew word is Sheol, the Greek word is Hades. This is not the same as the hell of the damned, okay? So Jesus did not actually descend into the hell of the damned where people have definitively and eternally rejected God. He descended into the place where the dead were, who had faith and repentance when they died, okay? To lead them out. Is that really what we think of when we think of the word hell? Probably not, you know, but that's what it actually means. So you could argue, well, that shouldn't be the word we use. Well, I don't know. It's in English, right? The Bible wasn't written in English. And you'll actually see this in some other Bible verses. So the Easter homily was all about, it had a lot to do with Holy Saturday. This is also a reason why I'm mentioning it, because a lot of people have questions about it. And when Jesus says in Revelation chapter 1, I am the living one. Okay, I once was dead, but now behold, I live forevermore. He's basically saying, I cannot die. I am immortal. Even in his humanity, his glorified humanity, Jesus can no longer die. That's what it means to have a glorified body. That's what it means to be the living one. And he says, I hold the keys of death and Hades, or another translation, death and the underworld, or death and hell. Okay? So Jesus can come and go freely and reach into death and pull out those who choose eternal life, who have chosen eternal life. So I'll continue with the catechism. The frequent New Testament affirmations that Jesus was raised from the dead presuppose that the crucified one sojourned in the realm of the dead prior to his resurrection. This was the first meaning given to the apostolic preaching to Christ's descent into hell, that Jesus, like all men, experienced death, and his soul joined the others in the realm of the dead. But he descended there as Savior, proclaiming the good news to the spirits imprisoned there. Like I said, they were awaiting the Messiah. They were awaiting the Redeemer. They were awaiting the Savior. And Holy Saturday is where that's when he arrived. Okay, the atonement, they might have been sorry for their sins or had some contrition and like repentance, but atonement had not yet been made for their sins until Good Friday. They might have had faith that, yes, there is life forever with God, but there was no resurrection until Easter Sunday. And so that's when it's all happening. Jesus goes down, and everyone is preached to. Everyone has this chance. And I think this is a corollary for just the reality that God reveals himself to everyone and gives everyone a chance to respond in faith. And so those who had been awaiting this are led out into eternal life. The Savior they'd been awaiting, the Redeemer they'd been awaiting, there he is. They have died, but he comes to them in the realm of the dead and leads them out into eternal life. Continuing on with 633, paragraph 633 of the Catechism, this is what I was just talking about with the different words for hell. Scripture calls the abode of the dead, to which the dead Christ went down. So weird to think about Jesus being dead, you know, because he is the living one. But remember that one time when Jesus died? Okay, that time. He went down hell, or Sheol in Hebrew, or Hades in Greek, because those who are there are deprived of the vision of God. Such is the case for all the dead, whether evil or righteous, while they await the Redeemer, which does not mean that their lot is identical, as Jesus shows through the parable of the poor man, Lazarus, who was received into Abraham's bosom. It is precisely these holy souls who awaited their Savior in Abraham's bosom, whom Christ the Lord delivered when he descended into hell. Jesus did not descend into hell to deliver the damned, nor to destroy the hell of damnation, but to free the just who had gone before him. So there's not like, some people are like, well, if Jesus descended into hell, is there an empty hell? No, that's not what it means. That's not at all what the creed professes or what the catechism teaches or what the church fathers have ever believed. No, there still is that decision that we have to make, that response that we have to give to God, okay, during our lifetime. We don't want to wait until, oh yeah, I'm pretty sure it's all going to be, we're all going to go to heaven. That's not what this means. That's not true, and that's not what this means. But it does mean that Jesus goes, I mean, the reality of this, that Jesus goes down to the dead to deliver all of these people who had been awaiting him and hoping in God. It does show the depths to which God will go to preach to those who are asleep or to those who are dead. I mean, like as a corollary, like the spiritually asleep or the spiritually dead. You know, like that God preaches to us. Maybe you can identify more with having been spiritually dead or with having been spiritually asleep. But that Jesus goes in search of us. You know, he comes in search of us to preach to us when we're asleep and to wake us from our sleep. And when we're spiritually dead, to reanimate us, to fill us with his life. The other day, one of the students in our school asked me, you know, Father Dan, are Adam and Eve in heaven or are they in hell? And I was like, oh, that's such a good question. Like, we don't have an exact teaching on that. It's part of like the deposit of faith. But there is an ancient tradition, you know, small t tradition, but a tradition nonetheless, that they are in heaven. And I think that's so hopeful. There's something about it that just rings true because it is hopeful. And there's this ancient homily from an unknown author from the early church that is in the office of readings for every Holy Saturday. Every Holy Saturday, every priest and deacon and religious sister prays this, and a lot of lay people too, a lot of you do as well. And there's this ancient homily about Holy Saturday and what Jesus was doing to lead our first parents out of death into eternal life. Today, this is a kind of just an excerpt from it that the Catechism is quoting. Today, a great silence reigns on earth, a great silence and a great stillness. A great silence because the king is asleep. The earth trembled and is still because God has fallen asleep in the flesh. And he has raised up all who have slept ever since the world began. He has gone to search for Adam, our first father, as for a lost sheep. Greatly desiring to visit those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death, he has gone to free from sorrow Adam in his bonds and Eve captive with him, he who is both their God and the son of Eve. I am your God, who for your sake became your son. I order you, O sleeper, to awake. I did not create you to be a prisoner in hell. Rise from the dead, for I am the life of the dead. And Jesus speaks those words to each and every one of us, and through us to others who are spiritually asleep or dead, to rise. He did not create us to be separated from. He did not create us to be, to just fall asleep. But he created us to live and to be united with him. And he calls to each and every one of us in this Easter season to live the resurrection life that he alone is and has, to rise with him.